You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back and FanRag Sports, and I write for the Miami Heat's Tip Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Ramil, a credentialed NBA writer who has covered the Heat for SB Nation and AllYouCanHeat.com. I cover the NBA at large for Fanside and FanRag Sports. And you can follow me, my writing, at Twitter at DRamil13.
Today's show is sponsored by Draft. Use the promo code LOHEAT and get a free entry after you made your first deposit. And check out our Twitter account at LockedOnHeat for instructions on how to join our league and play against us during tonight's games. Today we're going to talk about the Heat possibly getting an injured player back and preview the Heat's game against the Pistons that's coming up tonight. Let's talk about that, David. James Johnson could be back from his injury. For Barry Jackson, Miami Herald, reporting that he has participated in shoot-around, but that Spoelstra will stick with Olynyk at starting power forward for now. Do you think that's the right move if James Johnson is available?
On a night-to-night basis, I think it's something you'd still have to evaluate, to be honest with you. But as far as the Pistons matchup is concerned, it strikes me as being the wrong decision. Like, I mean, obviously, Spoelstra and the training staff would know better than we would at this point in time whether or not Johnson's available to go at full strength, whether or not he's got the full range of mobility for somebody coming off an ankle injury. But at the same time, his size, versatility, and ability to guard multiple positions will come in handy against Detroit. They offer a pretty small lineup outside of Andre Drummond. It's basically just four shooters and Drummond, kind of what, you know, Miami offers in, to some regards, but a much more equipped, I think, a much better shooting team overall than Miami is at this point. And Anthony Tolliver starts at the four, not exactly the kind of standstill player that, you know, Olynyk would have, you know, would be comfortable guarding. And we talked about this in our most recent mailbag about his limited ceiling as a defensive player. And I think that fits right into that narrative. Like, Tolliver is much more mobile. Even at his age, at this point in his career, he's still versatile enough. He can still come around, move around a little bit. Not exactly, the most mobile player, but still smaller and pretty much camps out from outside. He's not much of a threat on the inside, in the paint. He's going to be shooting a lot of threes. And, he hit three against Miami in our most recent loss to them. So I think it's a concern. I'd rather have James Johnson out there, to be honest.
My concern with Tolliver is that when he's involved in the Pistons run a lot of pick and roll. You know, it's a Stan Van Gundy team. Right. They're going to do that. And my concern is when Tolliver is involved in that pick and pop situation and Olynyk maybe gets switched onto Ish Smith, who isn't the best point guard, but is one of the fastest players in the league. Can Olynyk stay with Ish Smith in that situation, or Avery Bradley or whoever else is running the play for Detroit? That's my concern with Olynyk. But like you said at the start, we don't know what James Johnson's overall health is, if he's completely ready to play, at 100% of the minutes he was playing at before. We'll see if maybe he's at a minutes restriction, if Spoelstra's a little bit more tentative with him. But for now, Spoelstra has stuck with Olynyk and Whiteside as like that Twin Towers front court. And, you know, we've talked about this before, but I think it's because Olynyk is playing so well that they're almost willing to live with the negatives that come along with playing two big men like that. And those negatives obviously come defensively, especially against smaller lineups like Detroit is known to kind of run out there. So that's going to be an issue, but we'll see. I mean, Olynyk, there's games where he looks really good defensively, and there's other games where luckily for him, Anthony Tolliver isn't Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon just ran circles around him and has the dribble moves and things like that that really, I think, took Olynyk for a spin there. I don't think Tolliver is as capable of doing that. You know, he's more of a, camp out in the corner, shoot a few threes from there. He could kind of dribble drive, but really can only go straight. So maybe Olynyk can kind of keep him along the baseline and do it that way. So I'm not as concerned about Aaron Gordon or as concerned about Tolliver as I was about Aaron Gordon, but we'll see. I mean, maybe this is a good litmus test to see what kind of stretch fours Olynyk can handle, right? Because if he can handle Tolliver, well, all of a sudden, this lineup defensively looks a lot better than if he can't handle Anthony Tolliver. So we're going to learn a lot in this game just from that.
Yeah, I, I agree. I think also Tobias Harris, you know, he's a little bit in that tweener position also, where he could play some four, he could play some three. Right. And so it's going to be interesting. Like, Miami's already a little undersized, having Josh Richardson match up against a guy like Tobias. I think Richardson matches up well as far as his overall length, and he can kind of pluck his hand in there, maybe knock the ball out. But they run a lot of pick and roll with Drummond, with Tobias Harris handling the ball. So that's going to be a problem, with Whiteside's going to be able to switch. And you wonder if they could do the same thing with Tolliver, you know, run that pick and pop. You know, Drummond is a good enough passer out of the low post, I think, where he can create shot opportunities for guys along the perimeter. So that's going to be something to look out for. You know, as far as Olynyk is concerned, I'm also worried about, you know, the spacing. Like, the clear advantage for Olynyk would be to take it down into the painted area and, you know, use those series of savvy up fakes to try and get Tolliver into foul trouble, or to use his size and muscle right past him. He's not that kind of imposing player. He's not going to really bulldoze his way through you without drawing probably a foul on a guy like Tolliver, who's a little bit undersized. So he has to be a little bit savvier around the paint. But in order for him to even get to the paint, Whiteside needs to get the hell out of it. So you wonder whether or not Whiteside is going to be able to play a little bit more in the high post and draw Drummond away, so that Olynyk, who's much more effective driving to the hoop than Whiteside is, has the kind of room he needs to operate and kind of get his points against Tolliver.
Well, let's talk about that last meeting between Miami and Detroit, because that wasn't Miami's best outing in that game. We're gonna talk about that and what Miami can improve on from there. But first, fantasy basketball fans, listen up. If you love fantasy basketball, you need to try our new favorite fantasy app. It's called Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but it's not like the other guys. Draft was launched in 2014 with the idea that the draft is the best part of playing fantasy. The only problem, though, is that you only get to draft once in your season-long leagues, and traditional daily fantasy, where you could draft every day, is dominated by sharks, and that could be intimidating. Not with Draft. On Draft, you play with a live snake draft, no salary cap with other people. Plus, there's no multi-entry or player overlap, so you don't have to worry about people gaming the system. Draft is designed to make fantasy sports simple, fair, and fun. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night. You pick a draft and begin. Drafts start every couple of minutes, so you could join one right now. Here's our favorite part. After the draft, there's little to no lineup management. Just set it and forget it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. And, of course, you play for cash. Drafts start from just $1, and they go up from there, so there's a draft for everyone. Again, no salary cap. Live snake drafts. No losses because you forgot to make a last-minute sub for an injured player. Draft leans into the best part of fantasy sports, which is the draft, and you can play whenever you want. Join Draft today. Download the app, search for Draft in your app store, and then join a game in minutes, or play right from your computer on draft.com. For a limited time, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOHEAT and play a free game to win real money by using the promo code LOHEAT on your first deposit. Don't forget to check our Twitter account, @LockedOnHeat, to find a link to our draft for tonight's slate of games. All right, coming up, we're going to tell you what to watch for in tonight's games. But let's talk about the last time these two teams met. Detroit won 112-103. Tobias Harris went off. He had 25 points. Avery Bradley, he had 24 points. Detroit as a team made 50% of their threes. They went 14 of 28. Kind of indicative of Miami's early season struggles, but it does seem like the Heat are a different team since the last time these guys played. They're a little bit more injured. You know, this is a team without Justice Winslow or Deion Waiters in this game. Detroit doesn't have Reggie Jackson, so that's a plus for them. For Miami, I mean. But I feel like Miami is
kind of... Piston fans who would probably see it the other way, to be honest.
That's true. The Heat, though, I feel like they've changed a little bit of... They've changed a lot of their offense. They were more of a drive-and-kick offense, I think, back then. So they really kind of lived and died by the three-pointer. And that was an issue because their threes weren't going in. And lately, they run a lot more dribble handoffs and perimeter-oriented action to kind of free up things on the inside. It's almost the opposite of what they were doing at the start of the season and towards the second half of last season. So what do you think? That obviously the three-pointers stand out, what Detroit was making. If they don't hit 50% of their threes, the game is a lot closer, period, end of story. But other than that, what sticks out to you, what Miami needs to improve on since the last time these two teams played?
So, yeah, I mean, basically Detroit's lineup, I think, is the bigger concern there as far as knowing who might be able to go off on any given night. Like, obviously, they've got injuries, but Miami isn't exactly 100% either, so they've got to step up. I'm mostly worried about the front court matchup. I mean, you would think that between Whiteside and Drummond, there's an even matchup there, but Drummond adds a different dimension than Whiteside does. And then between Tobias Harris and Anthony Tolliver, they can space the floor much better than Miami's forwards can. Even when Bam Adebayo comes in, although he's got the defensive chops, I think, to match up with either of those guys, I'm curious to see how soon Spoelstra goes with him and you know, the kind of impact he might be able to have against a guy like, you know, Tolliver, who's, you know, somewhat rangy at 6'9". You know, they don't have much depth behind Tobias and Anthony Tolliver, so I'm curious to see what might happen there.
You know, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but when, you know, I guess Josh Richardson is going to be matched up against Tobias Harris to start.
Yeah.
Which isn't the best matchup for Josh Richardson. I mean, Josh Richardson has been he's been at an all NBA defensive level defensively, right? I just Tobias Harris offers so much more size and girth than Richardson has. I think it could be a problem, and I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit kind of went to Tobias Harris early to see if that's a matchup that they can exploit. And if it is, I wonder if how soon Spoelstra goes to James Johnson, because James Johnson does match up with Harris, at least physically, the best out of anybody on the Heat's roster. And if when he goes to James Johnson, he takes Olynyk out, brings James Johnson in, and just goes small right away. Or it could go super big with James Johnson against Tobias Harris, keep Olynyk in there, and just move Josh Richardson to the two guard spot. I mean, that's all, and have Richardson guard Avery Bradley. I mean, there's a lot of things that Spoelstra could do. The main thing is that Detroit just can't make 50% of their threes, because then Miami's not gonna have a chance. Miami's been a good 3-point shooting or 3-point defending team all season long, so I don't suspect that that's gonna be the case tonight, but. They need to be able to slow down Tobias Harris, because they weren't able to do it in the last game. You mentioned Bradley. He had 24 points. We get to listen to Eric Reed just bask in the Avery Bradley experience again. Eric Reed has a couple of guys in the league that he just like loves, and he's always loved Avery Bradley when he was with Boston. And I know he still loves Avery Bradley, so we get to listen to that happen again. So I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, he can't go – when Tobias Harris has 25, Avery Bradley has 24, and I think Luke Kennard had something like 14 points off the bench. When that happens, you're just it's the Heat aren't going to win. I think that was happening a lot to Miami at the beginning of the season, when just like there was three or four guys just going off, and that wasn't happening for Miami. But if the Heat – you know, lately they've been getting Josh Richardson contributions, and you know, Wayne Ellington's been having big nights. And so the Heat are kind of in that zone right now, it seems like. And if they could do that, I suspect that this game will go much differently than the last time these two teams met.
I'm also expecting a big night from Goran Dragic, to be honest with you. Ish Smith is definitely much more of an offensive player. He's a hustle guy, and he certainly tries very hard defensively, but he's not particularly tall. He's not much
of a defender. Let's talk about that. But first, you're jumping ahead of the script here, but because we're gonna get to our what to watch for this game. But first, quick reminder: make sure that you're subscribed to Locked On Heat on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, and to leave us a review on iTunes to help other Heat fans discover the show. Also, be sure to check out the rest of what the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer, including shows for every NBA and NFL team, plus Locked On Fantasy Basketball to help you in your draft tonight. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. All right, David, things we're watching for. You've got Goran Dragic versus Ish Smith.
I do. I'm sorry about jumping the gun there. But, yeah, I'm just so excited about that potential matchup. That's what I can't help myself. look, I think Goran has his size advantage. He's crafty enough. He can certainly get his shot off against Ish Smith. And I think with the you know, few days rest after the new year, it's going to really help Goran bounce back to the kind of best version of him, maybe a version of him that we haven't really seen for much of the season, because he's been battling injury and some inconsistency as well. So I'm expecting him to have possibly a 30-point night. I'm going to go ahead and mark it there. But, I'm expecting a big game from Dragic. I'm not sure where the points might come elsewhere, but I'll be honest with you, I expect – a lot of production out of him. So,
do you think that Van Gundy will move Avery Bradley to Dragic and just have Ish Smith guard Tyler Johnson?
Well, then, you know, considering what Tyler did most recently against Orlando, I would say not. But if Goran gets his points off early, then you could see that switch happening for sure. But then that just leaves an opportunity for Tyler to maximize.
I think you're exactly right, because if Ish Smith has to chase Tyler Johnson and then later Wayne Ellington around the baseline, around the court basically for the whole game, that's going to be trouble. So I almost I almost kind of dare Stan Van Gundy to make that call, right? But I think you're right. He's probably going to go into this. Stan Van Gundy knows what's up. He's a very good coach. I think he's going to go into this matchup and just kind of play versus positions. And then, like you said, if Goran Dragic starts going off and it's just unmanageable, then I guess you just pick your poison at that point and just put Bradley on Dragic. But it'll be interesting to see how that works. I'm looking for the dribble handoffs. Because fun fact, the Heat and the Pistons lead the league, and it's not even close between those two teams, lead the league in dribble handoffs per game, according to NBA.com's stats database. Detroit has ran 458 dribble handoff possessions this year. The Heat have ran 368 dribble handoff possessions this year. The next closest is Denver at 258. So Miami's ran 110 more dribble handoffs than Denver, who's in third place. These two teams rely on the dribble handoff. The difference between Miami and Detroit, though, is that Miami is really effective at it, and Detroit is not as much. Detroit is only averaging 0.8 points per possession in those situations, which is in the 17th percentile in the league, so not good.
Yeah.
And the Heat are at 0.95 points per possession, which is near the top of the league. So what I'm going to be watching for, at least from just a strategy standpoint, is how Detroit runs their dribble handoffs and through who. And we already know how Miami runs their dribble handoffs. They're going to do it with Olynyk. They're going to do it with Whiteside, apparently. They're going to do a lot with James Johnson and Tyler Johnson and, of course, their guards. And a lot of that's going to involve Wayne Ellington just running like a madman around the court.
Right.
But I'm interested to see how the Pistons run theirs and kind of just see like this battle of the DHOs. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a nerd, but I'm really excited to watch that. I think it helps, too, that Stan Van Gundy came from the Miami Heat organization and how, like, SVG and Spoelstra just kind of grew into these, like, all right, we're going to be dribble handoff teams. I don't know if there's a similarity or there's a reason through their origin stories why that is, but it is kind of interesting that both of those coaches run so many DHOs.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that, too, because, I mean, obviously they have such a different – you know, lineup, really. I mean, a much, you know, Reggie Jackson's not quite the ball handler that Dragic is, but he's a scoring first kind of player. I wonder why they run the dribble handoff so effectively so frequently up in Detroit, because
Seems like they evolved it. They kind of evolved into it similar to Miami, right? Because you're right, Reggie Jackson isn't the ball, but I think they hoped he would be, right? That's why they traded for him and gave him that contract that they ended up signing him to. And maybe Miami is finding out, like, this year, look, Dragic isn't quite as fast as he was last year. Waiters hasn't been quite as effective in that drive and kick game as he was last year. James Johnson's been injured a little bit. We have to adjust our offense. So maybe both of them kind of did it out of necessity. That's an interesting point, like how they both kind of just ended up there. And these, again, two teams that run by far the most dribble handoffs in the league. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I'm actually looking for. It'll just be fun to watch, like, 48 minutes of nonstop dribble handoffs. You know what I mean? It'll be kind of like a DHO 101 course almost, you know? So if anybody's wondering how people run the dribble handoff, this is the game to watch, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know if anybody's looking at that except me, but.
But it was still a high scoring affair last time around. I mean, mostly because of their 3-point barrage, I guess. But at the same time, I wonder if that's sustainable tonight, you know? You know, especially with Bradley coming off injury, I wouldn't expect him to have a huge night, you know, coming off. He's got some legal issues off the court as well. That might be a distraction as well. Right. So, you know, there's a lot going on with Bradley. At this point, I don't even know if he'll start. Van Gundy just said he was playing and it was based on his workout session yesterday in Miami. And they were kind of evaluating him today and determining whether or not he'd be ready to go. They made that determination and said he was. So we still haven't got any kind of clear understanding if there's a minutes restriction or anything like that. But I'm sure that will probably become more apparent as the game ticks on.
We'll be back tomorrow with a recap of this game. Thank you to Draft. Use the promo code LOHEAT and get a free entry when you make your first deposit. Check out our Twitter account at LockedOnHeat for instructions and a link on how to join our league and play against us during tonight's games. That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening and subscribing. You can send mailbag questions and ask about advertising by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions and comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.